You know, we are, as the word says, perilous times. Perilous times is associated with a lot of demonic activity, influence. You remember, sin is S-I-N, Satan's influential networking, and S means systems. Hallelujah. Would you turn your swords to 3 John? Welcome to Sunday Morning Live. We are not religious. This is not a Bible study. It's training sessions. We are trained up as a military operation. Jesus never came to bring religion. He came to bring a military. 3 John. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. Because what you speak is what you eat. What you eat is what you become. Speak light, eat light. The more light you eat, the more demons removed from you. Verse 2, beloved, I pray that you may, what?
Prosper.
Prosper. That means advance, multiply, grow. That you may prosper in all things and be in what?
Health.
Hello. He's given us the key, man. He's saying, look, I pray that you will prosper in all things, that you'll grow, that you'll mature, that you'll become physically healed, prosperous financially, that you'll multiply, become fruitful in everything that you do. But he says there's something very important. Just as your what?
Soul
prospers. So if the soul don't prosper, can you?
No.
No. If the soul doesn't prosper, either do you. Does everybody get it? That's why there's a conversion of the soul. Now, the soul is your mind, your will, your emotions, your imaginations. Amen? So your mind is associated with your thoughts. Your emotions are associated with your feelings. Your choices, yeah, that's the will. And your imagination is your perception, how you perceive things. See, if the soul isn't completely converted, now there's a conversion process that we go through all the way till we go home. That is a continuing process. It's not just a one-time process. It's every day. Where there's conversion. The more you grow and the more you mature, the more stuff you're going to be finding out that you've been carrying that is not only displeasing to God, but displeasing to you. Amen? So he says, look it. The way you're going to prosper and grow and mature and become healthy and overcome is so that your soul is completely converted. In verse 3, he says, for I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you. And every part of your thoughts, your emotions, your imaginations, your choices, your will. And when truth is taking place in preeminence over everything. See, truth must take preeminence over your whole soul. He said that he rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Wow. That is the desire of Dad, our Father, the one who created us, sent us into this realm to fulfill a mission. Amen? So in this, the converting of the soul is, again, a constant motion. It's a pressing forward. While, you know, while even still expressing flaws, we still should be going forward. Amen. Amen? But there's something what we call emotional restrictions, or many times people get emotionally challenged. And what it does is it causes an unhealthy emotion and outbursts of words and attitudes. I'm going to say that again. Emotional restrictions is an area to where we become emotionally challenged. It can be in the area of thinking, whatever it may be. And it causes unhealthy emotional outbursts of words and attitudes. It's unhealthy. Why? Because it can bring a curse. It can open doors to demonic activity. Is everybody okay? Emotionally challenged or emotional restrictions. 2 Corinthians verse 6. You know, the Word of God is multidimensional. It speaks of past, present, and future. And it also has multiple levels of interpretation. It can be applied to any part of life at any time, no matter what. It's utilized to not only as a weapon, but it's also utilized to guide us to God's presence and to confirm the things that the Spirit says. In verse 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11, O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not what? Restricted by us, but what are you restricted by? You are restricted by your what? Own affections. Your own emotions, your own feelings. Does everybody see this? He said that they were restricted by them. Because they're individuals that make decisions and live out of their emotions instead of out of truth. They live out of their heads and instead of out of the Spirit. And verse 13. Now in return for the same, I speak to you as what? Children, why? Because he said these restrictions are keeping you in an immature state of being. You are not able to mature. You are not able to grow. You will not be able to prosper. I speak to you as children. You also be open. He tells us these things. He says don't be unevenly yoked together with what? Unbelievers. Why? Because it's going to be an influence, isn't it? Don't do the things that the unbelievers do. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with what? Darkness. And what accord is Christ with Belial? And what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, I will walk among them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people if you do something. That's what therefore means. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. In other words, be separated from how the world perceives things and how they set their feelings and emotions and thoughts. Come out from among them. Don't be like the world. Call yourself a Christian. You're still living like the world. And don't touch what is unclean. Don't agree with it. He says, then I will receive you. Some people are wondering why they're still going through all kinds of hell on earth. Because they're still agreeing with hell. He said, I'll be a father to you, and you'll be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Again, emotional restrictions that keep individuals in a state of immature state of being, causing a process of conversion to be delayed, or even stretched out in a longer period of time, and sometimes completely stopped. And I always look at it like a rubber band. Every emotion is a rubber band. And it stretches with you. It stretches with you until you finally snip it. And when it snips, it has a little sting to it. Ah, yes. But you know it's gone. It doesn't sting again. Amen. You know, Jesus was the prime example of a person that did not live by how he felt. Everything that he said, I've come to do the will of the Father. That was it. He was on a mission that was unstoppable to him. And you and I got to come to an arena and understanding that we are on a mission. This is not some soulish arena thing. This is not some religious state or act. Jesus is not religious. He's the chief and commander of the military. And we are to be his soldiers. And the word says that a soldier should not entangle himself in the affairs of this world. That meant the emotional restrictions of this world. Everybody okay? Each emotional restriction is, again, like a rubber band. It's evil influence. They challenge us all the time. You will constantly be challenged by how you feel. But again, a person that lives in that state of being is immature. Listen, you can get revelation, illumination, and even a visitation. But your soul must be converted still, no matter what. You can get baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues and everything. But your soul still must be converted. Why? So that your emotions are no longer telling you or dictating you what to do. 2 Timothy 1. What's Satan's greatest weapon? Deception. Deception. And his power is fear. Satan's greatest weapon is what? Deception. And his power is fear. Is fear an emotion? Oh, you betcha. It's an emotion. You know, people don't realize that lust is an emotion. Why? Because lust is an overwhelming desire. Addiction is an emotion. Why? Because it's actually lust. People want to feel better, so they get addicted to something. I don't care what it is. Addiction is a replacement of God's presence. Amen? No matter what. People drink, smoke, do drugs, alcohol, whatever it may be. Even nicotine is a replacement for God's presence. That's what the devil does. Why is a person doing it? They're looking for something for self-fulfillment. Because they want to feel better. These are emotional challenges that you and I are placed with every single day. You know, Jesus saw many who were hurt. There were only certain places that he healed them all, and certain places he didn't. In fact, there were places he walked right by them. Because, see, there's an area of faith that connects us to the presence of God. Faith connects us to the presence of God. That's why the Father searches those who will worship him in truth and spirit. You get connected to the presence of God by worship. You get connected to the presence of God by what comes out of your mouth. You're either getting connected to the presence of God or to the presence of evil. Because there's life and death in the power of our tongue. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Is everybody there? Cool. Let's speak it. Therefore, I remind you to do what? Stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Now, how do you stir up something? It's not always jump up and down, you know what I'm saying? You stir up something by praise and worship. You stir up something by decreeing Christ the word. You stir up by praying in tongues. In fact, praying in tongues stirs up and increases your most holy faith, which reconnects you to the presence of God. Stir yourself up. Verse 7, for God has not given us a what? Spirit of fear. So when somebody isn't stirred up, that's a level of being filled with the Spirit of God. It's a level of always overcoming. It's a level of over your emotions. I call it the master's level. It's the third level that God wants us to reach. But we go through each level, each stage. For God's not given us a spirit of fear, but what? Power and love and of a what? Sound mind. So listen, when fear will nullify the power over emotional challenges. Does everybody get this? It will nullify. And what does it nullify? It nullifies the love from above and replaces it from the love of the world. It removes a sound mind to carnal thinking, reasoning, and past carnal experiences. People rely on them. It brings confusion. And it has no power. Because the power is looking in self-power instead of God-power. In verse 8. Therefore, do not be ashamed. Ashamed is associated. Ashamed. When someone's ashamed, they're beat down. It's an emotion. People fall into oppression. They fall into even suicide. Listen, if the devil can't kill you with sin, he'll kill you with how you feel. Shame, regret, offense. All of these things are emotions that the enemy will challenge you and I with on a daily basis. Remember, he's come to steal, kill, and destroy. The only way to overcome this, again, you must stir yourself up. You must stir yourself up. To what? Overcome. You must get connected to the presence of God, connected to his word, his power, his love, and nullify everything that the enemy is trying to bring against you and challenge you so that you are not restricted to the will of God and the flow of his spirit. Therefore, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before what? Time began. But now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the what? Through the gospel. Wow. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. So he is the keeper. 1 Corinthians 14. You know, there's so many things involved in this that many people don't realize. Did you ever hear the area of somebody say, man, I wish. Actually, what they're saying is, I desire. Actually, what they're saying is, I feel. Because I want. All of that is associated, just different levels of words, but it's all connected to the same thing. There's something that I want to make me feel better. First Corinthians 14:33. Now, some of them are pretty good. Like, you might think, well, man, I wish that person would just shut up, you know. That might help. 1 Corinthians 14:33. What does it say? For God is not the author of what? Confusion. But of what? Peace. Is peace an emotion? Yes. But that's what we're supposed to have, peace. As in all the churches of the saints, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. As in all the churches of the saints. Does everybody get that? He's the developer of your faith. He's the promoter of you. You don't have to promote yourself. And you don't have to prove yourself. You've been pre-approved. Isaiah 26. Emotional restrictions. We are emotionally challenged, aren't we? We will be challenged every day in every move. As soon as you get up, there's an emotional challenge. How do I feel? Am I going to take dominion over tiredness? How about over pain? Pain's an emotion. We can be a real pain in the butt, right? But you can have pain in your body. But we can take dominion over pain. If you truly know who you are. Amen? Does everybody understand that? So many times people are just running to the doctor instead of running to Jesus. They go to the phone instead of the throne. They're not putting Christ first. They're putting everything else for because of how they feel. Then their emotions become their God. And it keeps an individual in an immature state of being, cannot grow or prosper. Eventually, confusion, oppression, and heaviness comes. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Would you all read it with me, please? You will keep him in what? Perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So whose mind is set on the Lord, that person will maintain a perfect peace. Remember, David said something powerful. And you'll hear me repeat this all the time. I always set the Lord before me. That's how you keep in perfect peace. Because if he's always before you, then you're going to see him. Amen? He'll always be before you in every decision and everything you're doing. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Verse 4. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting what? Strength. He's our strength. But you got to remember, the enemy will attack with emotional challenges to prevent and restrict the will of God and restrict your advancing. Emotional restrictions. Mind stayed on him, maintained peace. Emotional challenges attempt to distract from the mission, causing short-sightedness. Emotional decisions, which are not good. Compromise. Complacency and laziness. Confusion, rebellion, and pride. Want me to repeat that? Okay. Emotional challenges. These will restrict us from causing and fulfilling the mission. Because what does it cause? Short-sightedness, emotional decisions, compromise, complacency, and laziness. Confusion, rebellion, and pride. You know, pride is an emotion. It's an emotion. James chapter 3. There is such an emotional battle right now in the atmosphere in this world. It's phenomenal. It's raising more and more and more. You've got hatred. You got jealousies. You've got all kinds of things. James chapter 3 and verse 13. Emotional restrictions that speak it. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by what? Good conduct, that his works are done in the meekness of what? Wisdom. But if you have what? Bitter. Is bitter an emotion? Envy and self-seeking in your hearts. Do not boast and lie against the truth. Let me tell you, the battle between these emotions is phenomenal. The powers of darkness use our emotions to nullify truth. It says here, powerful, verse 15, this wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and what? Demonic. Because an individual, when they are emotionally challenged, if they're not able to overcome that emotion, it becomes influenced because the enemy, the demonic forces, influence us. They know. That's how they tried to play Jesus. That's how he played Eve. And she gave in. And she played her husband, and he gave in. Does everybody get it? This wisdom doesn't come from above, but is earthly, sensual, and what? It is demonic, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are what? There. But the wisdom that is from above is what? Pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who what? Who make peace. Self-seeking in the heart is caused by being overtaken by emotional challenge, restricting the Holy Spirit's influence. Can you imagine that? That we restrict the Holy Spirit's influence? And what happens then, it's resulting in haughtiness and self-promotion, offense, false perceptions, in worldly wisdom, we open ourselves to the carnality realm. One of the things that's resulting is in division, bitterness, envy, opening the door to more evil influence, where a person is always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, because truth can never have its opportunity to truly penetrate. Because if that emotion is still there, it overtakes that individual. In Matthew chapter 9. Again, that's why people turn to drugs, alcohol, and all kinds of pornography and everything else that's self-fulfilling. They're looking for fulfillment. And then when they get that fulfillment, they grumble and complain anyways. Because they're not holding, there's no peace there. It's a temporary fulfillment with no peace. Matthew 9, verse 18, please. Is everybody okay? Again, the presence of God. Without the presence of God, you can't overcome nothing. I don't care how much word you have in you. The word must be anointed by the presence of God. That's why the word tells us, forsake not to assemble. But people are live by how they feel, so they don't assemble. In verse 18, while Jesus spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live. And Jesus arose and followed him, so did the disciples. So they're on their way, right? Jesus, this was a mission now. This was, okay, we have a long-term mission, and we have short-term missions. Every day we have a mission to fulfill, but then there's a long-term mission. So Jesus said, okay, I'm going to go heal this girl. And while they're on their travels and journey, in verse 20, suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter, your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that hour. Did that stop Jesus from continuing to go? No. He continued to go to his mission. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the flute players and all the noisy crowd wailing, these flute, because it was the wailing organization, the mourning organization. They were paid mourners. He said to them, make room, for the girl is not dead but sleeping. And he ridiculed them. But when the crowd was put outside, in other words, he said, everybody out. All you emotionals. See, they were emotionally challenging Jesus by being in there. He said, everyone out. Does everybody get this? This is reality. You know why? You and I got to say, everyone out. Hallelujah. But verse 25, but when the crowd was put outside, he went in. Hello. And then what did he do? He took her by the hand and the girl arose. And the report of this went into all the land. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out, saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he came into that house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? And he said, yes. And they said, yes, Lord. And when he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you according to your faith. Let me share something with you. It's according to your connection to God's presence, because that's what faith is. Your faith is according to God's connection of his presence. How much of the presence of God is on you is how much faith you have. It says faith comes by hearing, and hearing the what? Word of God. But also says faith comes by praying in tongues. Now, what's the word of God going to do? It's supposed to bring you into God's presence. You should have a thirst and hunger. It gives you direction to God's presence. Everything's about God's presence. That's why the disciples were able to do whatever they were able to do. Cast out devils, raise the dead, and everything else. Why? Because Jesus' presence extended to them. But then when Jesus ascended, 50 days later, boom, he sent his presence. He sent the anointing. The anointing is the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty, all packed in the Holy Spirit. Glory. Again, this is what you and I need to do. We need to remove these emotional spirits, challenges from our temple, from our atmosphere, and from our homes. From our thoughts and from our soul, every area. 2 Corinthians 10. Second Corinthians chapter 10. I don't know if you heard about the Was it a boat that tipped over? And the family, one of the survivors, this woman, was given her testimony. She lost how many? Nine members? Her children, her husband. Nine members. There was her family, a family reunion, and they went on vacation. They were going, and they were on this tour in Missouri on a lake, and a huge storm came and tipped the boat over. Of course, they didn't have life preservers on because the captain told them they didn't need it. It was definitely false direction there. But this woman was given her testimony, and she was powerful. She was strong in the Lord and the power of His might. She kept decreeing and declaring how Jesus rescued her. The boat went so deep. The water was very warm, but the boat went so deep that the water was cold. She was still stuck in it, and she could feel the water cold all around her, and she just kept praying and praying and asking God. And then she was fighting and fighting and fighting, and finally she just gave up and said, "Lord, if you want me to die, take me home. Other than that, rescue me and my children." She got rescued. When she surrendered, she floated to the top. But her children didn't make it. Husband didn't make it. I think maybe one other relative did. I don't remember at all. But she gave her testimony. She had tears in her eyes, but she was strong. She didn't allow emotion to overtake her at all. Powerful, strong in the Lord, woman. Just strong. I was just so blessed. I mean, my heart sunk for her. But she was so strong, and she just kept saying, "Pray for all the other victims and all those who've lost loved ones, because I know that they are going through what I'm going through." You know, if somebody loses someone, they're going through an emotional challenge. Amen? But praise God, she was strong in the Lord to overcome it. She wasn't going to let her stay there. There's a time of mourning, but then there's a time of rejoicing. 2 Corinthians 10. Verse 4. Let's speak it. For the weapons of our warfare. How many of y'all were in a warfare? It's an emotional warfare. Yeah. Our weapons of our warfare are not physical or carnal, but are they mighty in God and pulling down strongholds. What's a stronghold? It's a memory lie. Listen, a stronghold is a memory lie. And how is it burned into your memory? Emotion. Every memory is burnt in by emotion. Does everybody get it? That's how it's burned into your memory. Then, so if you got a memory that's burned in by an emotion and it's a stronghold, that means it's keeping you from growing. It's keeping you in an immature state of being. It says that we're to be casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every one of these thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all of them that are disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. In other words, again, a stronghold is a memory lie. It's burned in by an emotional impact, becoming a constant challenge. It becomes a what? A constant challenge. Restricting the flow and influence of the Holy Spirit. Its result is in bondage and oppression. It can cause unbelief and weariness. It can cause loneliness, heaviness. That's why we're to expose these things and remove them and replace them with the promises of God. Peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. But listen, you won't have the strength to do it if you're not connected to God's presence. It's just impossible. And you're not going to be connected to God's presence until you finally get over your emotions and decide to worship God with all of your heart. And decide to show up to corporate praise. Or you'll stay in that condition. And you'll blame everybody else, the doctors, and all the stuff that happens to you and your past and everything else. You'll blame it because that's one of the things it does is put you in a blame mode. You'll be miserable disconnected from the presence of God, and the enemy is about to wipe you out. He's come to steal, kill, and what? Destroy. So then what happens? An individual runs to the world for fulfillment. They begin to run according to their past experiences. You cannot defeat the devil living in your past. You won't. Galatians chapter 5. You can't defeat the devil in your own thoughts. He'll outwit you if you try to defeat him in your thoughts. You will not outthink him. You defeat him with the sword of the Spirit called the Word of God in your mouth. But it must be backed by the anointing, so you must be anointed by God's presence. Galatians 5, in verse 16, please. Galatians 5, verse 16. I say then what? Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust. Is lust the desire? Yes. Is lust an emotion? Yes. So look at this. This is the fight between emotion. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust, the desires, the emotions, the wishes of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so you do not do those things that you what? Wish, desire, or feel like. Whoa. So we're to be walking and be filled with the Spirit by praise and worship, which will assist in the exposing and overcoming of emotional challenges and restrictions. Other than that, you will live a life of emotion. And it doesn't mean you can't have joy. Amen? I mean, there's the emotions from God. And it doesn't mean that you won't mourn sometime. It doesn't mean you won't be offended. It doesn't mean you won't be disappointed. But if you're connected to the presence of God, filled with the Spirit, you will overcome. Because if you've already, listen, you can deal with the things on the outside when the things on the inside are removed. But first, these got to get removed. There's got to be a deliverance process. There's got to be a conversion process. But so many people, even after they go through deliverance, reconnect themselves to the same things. And then they come back in. And they have a hard time overcoming. And they stay in the cycle of stupidity. Which way did he go? Does everybody understand this? How many times do we want to repeat the same old thing? It won't stop until those things are gone. Amen? It puts us in a state of stupor. Deaf and dumb. Blind. Look at these spirits. Then they come and get fed. That's why the word says that they return seven times more. Stronger. Why? Because they know where the meal is. Remember, demons get fed by emotion. If they can get a reaction out of you, they get fed. That's all they're trying to do. And they'll hang around you. You'll scoot them away, but they'll be waiting because they know you're going to react any moment. Isaiah 61. Training for reigning. Oh, hallelujah. Isaiah 61, let's, first three verses, let's speak it and decree it. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are what? Bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. Look at this. The oil of joy for what? Mourning. How does the oil of joy come? Worship. The garment of praise. Hello. For the what? Spirit of heaviness. That they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be what? Glorified. Glorified. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Ephesians 4. And I remember one time I was watching the news, and there was a break-in in this woman's home. They come to vandalize and everything. And I don't remember the whole outcome of it, but I know when the news people came to interview her, they wanted to know what was going on. I thought she was going, "Thank you, Jesus." She just kept praising the Lord because she just went through a heavy-duty trauma. She was held up with guns and so forth. And they ransacked her home and took all kinds of stuff and whatever. And she just kept praising the Lord. Why? Because she could have just gone, "Woe is me." She could have opened up and looked for all the liquor in the house. She could have called the dope man down the street. She could have done all kinds of things, but she chose to praise the Lord, to remove the spirit of heaviness. Does everybody get it? So she didn't fall into it because she used what she learned. She began to praise the Lord immediately. So when that came on her, she just, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord." I do that in stores. I don't care. Man, you go in these places, you hear the music in those, you know, you're trying to shop and get something good to healthy to eat, and you got stuff here, bam, you're hearing this music, just emotional challenges. It's like, and next thing you know, your foot's going, "I need to know, wait a minute." And you got to start doing, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus." I usually do a hallelujah real quick. Hallelujah. "Here's your change, sir." "Hallelujah. Thank you." Ephesians 4:17. Let's speak it. "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind." Why are they walking in the futility of their mind? Because they're emotionally challenged and now restricted. "Having their understanding darkened." Hello. "Being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past what?" Being past what? Being past what? Feeling emotionally distracted. Emotionally restricted, emotionally challenged by their past, have given themselves over to what? Lewdness. To work all uncleanness with what? Greediness. He says, but you've not so learned Christ then. You haven't put him into practice. You haven't used what you've learned. If indeed you have heard him and learned from him, that you've been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you do what? Put off. Everyone say, put off. "Concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt, according to the what? Deceitful emotions." Amen? "Deceitful emotions. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind and your soul, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." Be what?
Angry.
Be angry, but don't what?
Sin.
Sin. That's called righteous anger. But there's a limitation to that. Amen? You're to hate sin. We love people, but we hate sin. Be angry and don't sin, and don't let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no what? Corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by which whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all emotional bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Anger, emotions, all of these things. People have emotional opinions. They have emotional opinions. Well, this is just how I believe. No, it's just how you feel. Somebody get it? They have emotional opinions of things. When sometimes they're emotionally challenged, they respond to emotional opinion instead of truth. People get really deceived by that. I remember when my wife and I were casting out demons out of this one woman, and this one spirit came out. We did about 23 demons came out of her. And there was this one spirit that came up and said, and I was casting spirits out of her, and the spirit said to me, "Oh, wait, where should I go? I have nowhere to go." And I thought, whoa. I went, wait a minute. It almost deceived me because it was playing my emotion. That spirit would have stayed in that woman. And I had to overcome. I felt the Holy Spirit go, poof. I was like, okay, I got it, yeah. And then we cast that spirit out. But see, demons use emotion. People don't realize that a demon has a soul. Why? Because that's where it came from. It's nothing but an offspring from a fallen angel, Nephilim, that went into humans. So you got fallen angels that had sex with humans, and their offsprings, when God destroyed them in the flood, those became demons. So they're disembodied spirits that have a soul. They have feeling. They have emotion. They have a mind. They can choose. But they're all fighting to please the prince of power of error, prince of power of darkness, and hope that they get position. So they get fed off of me and you by emotion. In fact, when war comes, more demons are released from... See, we keep casting demons into the pit every single day. But they keep being released by people's desires. It influence. So it's a constant battle and cycle. James 4. Oh, happy day. Well, yeah. Oh, glory. James 4, verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your emotions? For pleasure that war in your members. You lust. Does everybody see how this is so attached to emotion? Your feelings. You lust and don't have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you don't ask. And when you do ask, you miss it. Because you want to spend it on your emotions. Adulterers and adulteresses. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Why? Because the world lives on emotion. Everything they do is associated with how they feel. In fact, Satan's doctrine is do what you feel like. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? Is jealousy an emotion? Yeah. But he gives more grace, and therefore he says, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hearts, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-mindedness. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. How many of y'all know that worship and praise is an act of humbleness? When people do not worship and praise and lift their hands to surrender, they are arrogant and prideful. And God will resist them until they come to a place where they're willing to become humble. Oh, glory. Emotional pleasures of sin that restrict the will of God and challenge wrong and cause wrong choices. In Psalm 119, then two more scriptures. I think we needed to get this teaching in. Psalm 119. Glory. In verse 161. You think God's preparing us? Yes. Let me share something with you. I know that we talked about some of the flood. There's going to be a flood of the enemy that's coming. And everything must be under the blood. Anything that's not under the blood, people will be affected. And if there's places in your life that's not under the blood, it will have an access. Yesterday I saw it start. So I want you to know it's already started. I'm not going to get all into it, but it started. I said to my wife, we were watching the news, I said, it started. The flood has already started. It's happening. Its influence is going to cause harm and damage. I don't know if you heard, but the Air Force no longer allows the Bible. The Air Force has removed the Bible. Now it has a book of faith. Why? Because they'll probably put all faith in there. It started. Does everybody understand? Okay. Psalm, verse 161. Let's speak it together. Princes persecute me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. I hate and abhor lying, but I love your law. Seven times a day I praise you because of your righteous judgments. Great peace have those who love your law or your word, and nothing causes them to stumble. Lord, I hope for your salvation and do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. In other words, he was saying, I am in love with your word. Jesus is the word who became flesh. So he's saying, I'm in love with you. See, these words in this Bible should represent Jesus. It should put a form of Jesus in right before you. In 1 Peter chapter 5. And verse 5. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 5. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Therefore, do what? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Casting your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Do you ever get around someone, every time something happens, they try and fix it? I know what to do. No. But the word says, seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added. Be anxious for nothing but prayer and supplication. See, so many times people, because they are so emotionally challenged and restricted, they try to fix it or have their quick opinion. And because they can't see things through, can't hear things through, and can't weigh things through. Everything to them is present now, and that's it. That's because it's how I'm attached to how I feel. And they make their decisions by that. In verse 8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. A roaring lion means nothing but a big mouth. Seeking whom he may devour. Why? Because he's going to release emotional challenges to us so that we can be restricted. It says, resist him steadfast in the faith, which is your connection to God's presence, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So there is not one of us in this room that is not emotionally challenged more than another. We are all emotionally challenged. The only problem is some of us haven't gotten rid of them yet. So the battle is still on the inside, and they're fighting on the outside and the inside. Amen? Once everything gets out, then your battle is on the outside, and we prevent it from getting in. Verse 10, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory, is everybody there? By Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Praise God. Romans 14. Whatever it takes to be free from self, from the world, from sin, from hell. How about bondage, emotional challenges and restrictions so we can make right decisions? Romans 14. Verse 16. Hallelujah. Let's speak it. Romans 14, 16. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but is what? Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Wow. Peace, joy, righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Emotional restrictions, we can overcome those challenges so that the will of God is not restricted. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Now, Lord, we ask that you continue to expose all of these emotional attachments to us so that we may remove these spirits, traumas, effects of our past, offenses and rejections, abuses in our lives, addictions, even shame. Only you, Jesus, can heal us. So we desire to cooperate with your healing process and conversion of our souls, that we may prosper and be in good health and be a sign and wonder for your glory, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.